Right with God, our journey in the book of Romans. To be an apostle, I started this about 3 weeks ago. I ask you to turn to Romans chapter 1. I'm going to ask you again to turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 5. You say, well, didn't you do that last week? I did. And I think I told Bob I may get through with this few verses today, and we'll move on. Romans chapter 1, verses 5 through 6. Through him, that is through Christ, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are called of Jesus Christ. And the people said, Amen. You may be seated. God bless you and thank you again for standing and honor the word of God. I know the last few weeks I've sounded like a broken record. Do you know what a broken record is? I laid a floppy disk on Cole's desk one time, and he said, what is this? So I mean that probably there's somebody here today know what a broken record is. You remember when you used to play an old record, and you'd put the arm down that had a needle in it to make the sound? And it'd get stuck in one track, and you'd just hear the same thing over, over, over. That's all you'd hear. I don't want to sound like that, but I have to finish what I started with you about 3 weeks ago under the heading to be an apostle. And in this time, I was going to review, but I'm not going to take the time to do that. If you want to go back and listen to the last couple of weeks, you can do that. There's some reels out there to give you the high points, but I want to just start and hit the ground running. Because I've got so much information I want to share with you, and I want you to hear these words, and I want you to hear them over and over again, I suppose. Because sometimes repetition is what we need. So I get it that you may be here today and say, you know what, I'm just heard this before, but I ask you, would just to tune me in just for a little bit, tune me in and let the Lord speak to your heart. I will try my very best to move on next Sunday to another passage in the book of Romans. Are you good with that? I lost about half of you. Are you good with that?
Yes, sir.
I just need to know who I'm talking to here. So let's reread that sentence in our text that Paul gives in verse 5. Through him, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith. Now, here's what I want to do. In the next few minutes, I want to just kind of dissect that verse of, or that sentence of Scripture, not the verse. I want to just look at that sentence of Scripture. When I was in seminary, we'd have to go in and do all these different things with a sentence and break it apart and do a proper exegesis of the word and all that. I'm not going to do that with you. I want to just break this apart in plain country boy terminology, because if you get much above that, I'm no good. So I want to break it down to where we have an understanding about what the Scripture is saying to us here. And obviously, if you've been around me very long, you know that one of my favorite words in all the world is obedience. So let's take this statement apart and by it and through it, kind of self-diagnose. Kind of look at our own heart, our own life, not your neighbor, not your spouse, not your children. Let's look at your own life and let's try to determine our level of faith and our degree of obedience. Our level of faith and degree of obedience. So consider the first few words. Through him, we have received grace. Now, over the past few weeks, we defined and discussed grace. And here's the definition. We said that grace, remember, is the unmerited favor of God. I don't deserve it. God shows his grace to me because of his love for me. As a human being, he loves me, and he sent his son Jesus to die for me. And if I accept Christ as my Lord and Savior, then I find myself in the grace of God. I pray that everyone I'm talking to this morning has found themselves in the grace of God. This change that takes place when someone comes to the Lord. This change that takes place is an eternal attitude. It's something that gets a hold of you. And listen, once you know that you know that you know Christ, then all of a sudden you have this swelling up within you, this thanksgiving for God and for salvation. Then we will learn in our text that grace saves us. But as surely as grace saves us, grace calls us as well. Let's talk about that. Because sometimes, here's where people stump their toe. Now, I know that in the country, we'd say stub their toe. It's the same thing, stumping and stubbing. So here's where people get kind of stumped up a little bit. They say, well, I want to be saved, but I don't know about that service part. Well, listen, as surely as grace saves us, grace calls us, and Paul has shared with us that word apostleship. He said, we come to be apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to be sure that we understand that grace has a calling, and that calling is for you and I to be witnesses of God, who gave his only begotten son through an amazing act to let him die on the cross. Grace was born in that act. Grace comes in that act. And to our text, we've received this grace, not only to be apostles, but also, here we go, be obedient to the faith. Would you say that with me? Be obedient to the faith. Let's try it again. Be obedient to the faith. Do it again. Be obedient to the faith. So there is a call for you and I who know that we know that we know Christ. Now there's a call for us to be obedient to what we know, to be obedient to what we've learned, to be obedient to the grace that has saved us, to be obedient to the gospel. Grace calls us, saves us, and then calls us to be a witness of God who gave his son. So our text is talking about being obedient to the faith. Obedience, now let's think about this. Obedience is a product of the grace of God. You don't get here wanting to be obedient to God. In fact, you get here quite the opposite. You get here wanting to do something else. Our tendency sometimes is to think about our own desires and our own thoughts. We're not bent to obey God naturally. Naturally, we want to turn our back on God. And many people, I've been amazed the number of people come to me and say, preacher, where's this in the Bible? And one of the favorite things I hear, not favorite, one of the things I hear most often is people say, where is that proverb that says, to thine own self be true? That's Shakespeare. And it's in the play Hamlet. It's not in the Bible. In fact, what we discover when we look at the Bible, we discover that the Bible teaches something quite differently. In one place, Jesus says this in Matthew 16, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So the Bible teaches just the opposite of thinking of ourselves all the time. So if I'm going to be obedient to the faith, did you ever play Cowboys and Indians when you were a kid? Do they still do that? Man, I walked around half my life with 6 shooters strapped to my waist. My brother and I played Cowboys and Indians. Most of the time I wanted to be the cowboy because I was going to win every time. In Cowboys and Indians, there was a favorite thing we used to say. Surrender. Surrender. Put both guns on. If I'm going to be obedient to the faith, I've got to surrender to the Lord. I've got to say, God, here's my 6 shooters. I don't want them anymore. You guide me. You lead me. I must surrender. If I'm concerned with following his will and his way, then surrender is necessary. I can't be caught up in following my will and my way. I can't be caught up in my own self be true. I've got to be true to God. One will never be obedient. Listen to me. Are you listening? Somebody walks up to me every day and says that. One will never be obedient to God on their own. Your natural self will never be obedient to God. The only way that you have a chance of being obedient to God and being obedient to the faith is coming to faith in Christ. Amen. If you're having trouble with obedience, if you find yourself drifting from obedience, if you find yourself not really liking how obedience tastes, then I want to suggest something to you. You may need to check your salvation. Oh, you're trying to scare me. No, I'm just trying to warn you. Listen, if you know that you know the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a certain bent inside you that makes you want to obey him and do the things God calls you to do. And if you're having problems with that, one of two things that happen. The devil's got you by the tail, if you got one, or you don't know Christ. So it's very, very certain that we need to know for sure that I know Jesus. So the only way to be obedient to the faith is to be in the faith. And one gets in the faith through the grace we've talked about that God gives. So the only way to be obedient is know that you know Christ, through Jesus Christ. And once you know that you know Christ, there's an amazing thing that happens. There is the Holy Spirit of the living God that now abides in the heart of every believer, in the life of every believer, and empowers you and I to be obedient to him. Obedience is impossible. Cooksey theology, you don't have to believe this way. It's just what I think. Obedience is impossible if you're not possessed of the Holy Spirit. Because our natural bent is to go against God. Our natural bent is to say, no, God, I want to rule my own life. I want to do my own thing. I grew up in the 50s and 60s that everybody wanted to do their own thing. And boy, by the time the 60s got here, it was out of control. We're that way. But if we know that we know Christ, then we have the Holy Spirit within us, and obedience starts with our relationship with Jesus. And listen, grace, how many of you like grace?
I love grace.
Obedience starts with Jesus, and grace brings salvation and a call to service. You follow? When I come to the Lord and know now that I'm free from hell and I won't go there, once you plunge headlong into the magnificent grace of God, God's grace flows all over our soul and moves us to a place of obedience. And the one who is saved through the grace of God wants to tell others about that. Have you noticed that? Well, I love it when somebody accepts Christ and the first thing they want to do, I encourage people, when you know that you know the Lord Jesus Christ, go tell somebody. And as soon as you tell somebody, you'll see that person be excited if they know that they know Christ. If they don't, here's your opportunity. Share Christ with somebody that's lost, don't know Jesus. So in grace, there's salvation. And in grace, there's also a call for us to be involved in sharing the gospel. So those who know Christ have received the grace of God and the call of apostleship. Paul talks about it in that verse we've read numerous of times now. And there's a call of apostleship specifically to be obedient to the faith. Now, to be obedient to the faith is to have an understanding of God and an agreement with God, if you will. See, when you receive Christ, you have to come to a place where you empty yourself out and allow Christ to fill your heart, the Holy Spirit, come into your heart and change you. Understand that humanity without God is doomed for hell. So the agreement that I have with God is, if I come to Christ and receive him as my Savior, I don't have to go to hell. But if you don't know Jesus, that's the destination. You say, well, I don't know if I like that kind of preaching. Well, if you don't like that kind of preaching, don't like what the Word says. Because the last time I looked, and I've looked a number of times, I've even looked a number of times this morning, I've discovered that there's only one of two ways to go. You go up, Mama said, or go down. You go to Jesus or you go to hell. And the only way you can know that you're going to heaven is to be obedient to the Spirit, obedient to the faith, and know that Christ is in your heart. To be obedient to the faith, to be obedient, is to have an understanding and an agreement with God. I understand that God has done this for me. I understand that humanity without God is doomed. I understand that once I come to Christ, he agrees. Watch this. God himself agrees to save you when you come to Jesus. How about that? You get the creator of the universe who says, now that you're mine, now that you're reconciled, you're his already. Now that you're reconciled with him through faith, then God says, I've got a deal for you. I got a place called heaven that you can enjoy for eternity. God's grace, listen closely. The grace of God is the only opportunity a man has, a woman has, a person, a human has. The only opportunity you have to go to heaven through God's grace and the gift of his son, Jesus. Understanding grows as you move forward. Understanding grows and obedience grows as you move along this journey. But to be obedient is to mind the calling to do the work of an evangelist, to do the work of an apostle. Apostleship is not, and I said this last week, apostleship is not about who we are, but about who Jesus is. Sometimes apostleship involves who I was before I came to Christ. Sometimes a testimony about where God has brought you from is an amazing testimony. I love the deal where somebody came to the pastor one time and said, you know, that woman on the front, not any of these, there was a woman on the front that every time she said, hallelujah. Kathy's not here today. She just said it. Somebody came to me one time and said, what about, wasn't her just talking about, what about that woman? She looks like to me she claps and she almost gets to dancing. What are you going to do about that? You know what I'm going to do about that? Nothing. Well, we're Baptists. So we need to get over that. We need to get to a place where we're Christian. I'm Baptist because I chose that. I believe it's where God landed me. But let me tell you something. When somebody is reacting in their faith, I don't know what happened to them. I don't know where they've been. I don't know what happened in their life before they came to Christ. But I got a notion it wasn't real good. And now they come to Jesus and they can't help themselves. They begin to realize how important Jesus is in their life. And they have a tendency to shout his name. Apostleship is not about who we are. It's all about who Jesus is. Apostleship becomes a reality when people get God-centered. I know I talk about that a lot. I love Henry Blackaby's teaching, Experiencing God, and I love the fact that Blackaby talks so much about being very God-centered. To be an apostle and to practice apostleship, you got to be God-centered. You got to be determined to be faithful and obedient to the faith. Being obedient to the faith means that you stop looking at your plan and you start looking at what God is doing. I love what Blackaby says. You look around, see what God is doing, and you join him there. I had to forego a plan in my life to be where I am today. Many of you here know that I used to handle another kind of dead people. I was in the funeral business. I have a funeral director and embalmer's license. I keep it up to, because you never know. If y'all run me off, I'll have something to fall back onto. I stopped handling those that were physically dead and started handling people that are spiritually dead. But I remember at one point in my life, my wife and I were very new in our marriage, and another guy and I decided, you know what, we ought to build a funeral home. We both from here, and everybody know us, and boy, before long, we just have all kinds of money. And so we went down and we actually looked at a piece of land, and on that piece of land today, there's a Mexican restaurant called Seven Leguas. That was a hot spot now. We even went and talked to the people that owned the land, and they were even in agreement, and not only were they in agreement, they had money, which I had none. And they said, well, sure, you know, maybe that's a venture we'd like to get into. And so being a licensed funeral director and bomber, knowing all the tricks of the trade at 20 years old, they were willing to actually take that step. We went so far as to talk to them about ownership and what that would look like and look at that piece of land and walk over that piece of land, which at that time was just a big old cavern there. It's hard to imagine there was anything ever built there. But you know what happened? The guy that I, now boy, I thought about this word in this story. The guy that I had partnered with turned out to be living an alternate lifestyle. He was married, but he was other things at night. He was homosexual. And listen, I want you to know something. He died alone by himself years later. Boy, can I tell you how many times I've thought about that near partnership? You know why? It was because of what I wanted. It's what I thought, man, this would be great. I'll be rich. I'll have all the money. I'll bury everybody that dies. And God had to get a hold of me and show me that that's not what I was supposed to do. I had to surrender to God and say, God, then you do with my life what you want to do. And in December 1975, I accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I had been drawn to the author and finisher of my faith, and I'd come to a place in my life where I said, it's more important for me to obey God in his way than my way. You ever get up in the morning and think you'll do something different? Come on, be honest. You're looking at me all spiritual again. I had a friend of mine who managed a department store. He was sitting at the Highway 30, the Interstate 45 bridge one day, and saw this old guy pull up my truck. Said his boy hadn't shaved in days, and he said he couldn't smell him, but he figured he hadn't bathed. And on the back of the camper, on top of the camper, he had an old John boat strapped up there. It had it just kind of lassoed on top of that thing. And this friend of mine was thinking about having to go to that department store and manage that place and put up with all employees and deal with those wonderful customers that come in and out of that store and returns and all that kind of stuff. And he said, for a moment, just for a moment, he said, I started to just tell the little boy, here, you get in my vehicle and go over there and manage that. I'm going in your truck. I'm going to change. You ever want to do that? Well, let me tell you something. When you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you got to forego your plan for his plan. You got to allow him to be God of your life. You got to allow him to allow you. God is the bigger plan for your life. And if you're drawn to the author and finisher of your faith, I'm telling you, it works. Have there been times that I thought, man, I wish I was doing something else? Not many. I say this all the time. I love what I do. I know I got a lot to learn about it, but I love what I do. And you know what? I don't go to the pastor's conferences. I get so tired of mealy-mouthed, snotty-nosed, crying preachers. Oh, God, it's so hard. No, I'm having the time of my life doing what I'm doing. When you give up your life for his life, you're obedient to the faith, you're obedient to apostleship, you trust God, it's amazing what God can do. There have been times along the way that I thought I'd quit. I've quit a lot of Mondays. Then somebody calls and says, you know that sermon you preached Sunday, man, hit me right here. And it's something you thought didn't have any meaning at all. And God just takes it and does something with it. You know, I'm a long ways from perfect. I know that surprises some of you. Ask my wife. She can tell you. I'm a long ways from perfect. But when I obey the faith and I'm being led by the one who is perfect, it's amazing what begins to happen in our life. So as apostles, those of us called, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, we're now called to apostleship, like it or not. It's the task that you and I are now called to. And so the task that we have, I challenged some of you last week, and I heard from two or three of you along the way that said to me, you know what, I shared Jesus with that one person that you asked me to share Christ with, and they would tell me some of the results. And listen, I want to encourage you, keep doing that. Keep sharing Jesus. So as apostles, you obey the faith. There was once a great king who ruled over a vast and peaceful kingdom. And one day, that king called a handful of men to himself, and he gave them a part in the kingdom. They weren't the most powerful. They weren't the wealthy. They weren't even educated. They didn't even know anything about other than fishing and tax collecting and just ordinary things that people did. And the king said to them, you've walked with me and you've seen my heart. Now I'm sending you out to carry my message to every corner of the kingdom. You'll speak not with your own authority, but with mine. The king granted them authority to speak and said to them, you can be granted my authority. You speak on my behalf. Wherever you go, he said, you're going to represent me, not only in words, but in the way you live your life, through love and through service. He gave each and every one of them a zeal. And he marked his authority and sent them out with nothing but his promise. I will be with you always, even to the end of time. And they went, and they faced storms and rejection and even persecution. Some were beaten, others were in prison, still others gave their lives for this king who had appointed them. But they never stopped speaking of the king and his grace and his love. Every place they went, hearts were changed, homes were healed, darkness gave way to light. And years later, people in that kingdom don't speak much about the messengers anymore. They talk mostly about the king. Because you see, the king died on a cross for his kingdom. And he gave his life that you and I could be saved. And when you get that story, it's so very clear. When you get that story, to be an apostle is not simply to go. It's to go and to share. And it's to go in the name and the power of the king, carrying with us the promise of the message and reflecting on his heart wherever we go, wherever we're sent. An apostle of Jesus is someone who comes from the grace of God, through the grace of God, and is called, commissioned, and sent, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now think about that. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. His message extended through us to his kingdom. And we represent the heart of his word. You and I who know that we know Jesus. So I always come to this question in my mind. Who would dare to be an apostle? I love the story of Aaron and Moses. Aaron was clear-spoken and didn't have a stuttering problem. Moses did. Moses said, Lord, I'm not very eloquent of speech. Why send me? Send Aaron. And God said, Moses, I'm sending you, and I'm sending Aaron alongside you. And when you get in those places where you just can't say it, Aaron's going to say it for you. What God's looking for is surrender. He's looking for people that will accept apostleship and be obedient to the faith. Be obedient to the fact that God has called us and asked us through him. We have received grace. If there were a garage sale in heaven and everything was priced and laid out, grace would not be for sale. There's no price to put on grace, because the price has been paid, and grace is a free gift through him, through Jesus. We have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all the nations for his name's sake, among whom you also are called of Jesus. The scope of this obedience is around the world. The scope of our obedience is in our Jerusalem, Huntsville, Walker County. Tell others about Jesus. The scope of our obedience entails you and I putting aside our thoughts for his thoughts, our ways for his ways, and doing the things that God would call us to do. Who would dare? Who would dare to be an apostle? There's a great reward coming for those who will be apostles. There's a crown coming that God will give us someday when we enter the kingdom of heaven. I got a notion we'll take that crown and lay it at the feet of our Savior, Jesus. If you know Jesus, you are called to apostleship. You are called to be obedient to the faith. To be right with God, you must be active and obedient as working apostles of Jesus Christ. Who would dare to be an apostle? Father, I love you, God, and I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that's been mine to be your preacher. I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for everything that has occurred in this service today. And Father, I thank you even more for the things that are occurring in the hearts of men and women, even as I speak. Father, I pray for those in this building to whom you have spoken. Some, Lord, are lost and without Christ, who need desperately to be saved. And today, Lord, if they would come, if they would open their hearts to you, today you would come in. You would be there, Lord. You be their Savior. Father, there are those in this building who have decisions that hang in the balance. Decisions that ought to be made, God. And I lift them before you, God, and I pray that today those decisions would be made because you have spoken to our hearts. Father, those who should be a part of this church, those who ought to follow in believers' baptism like Charlie did. Lord, there are those who need to come be a part of this church because you've said do that. Some need to come and just spend some time in these altars. Some, God, who may need to come pray with me and one of our staff members. God, I give this invitation on your behalf. Come, Holy Spirit, teach us to be faithful and obedient to the faith. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you stand with me as we stand together? Would you come as God might lead you?